Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2, then 12 through 14, and then in chapter 2, we read verses 18 through 23. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The teacher was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. Oh, what a heavy burden God has had on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the toil of or fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This toil is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another person who has not toiled for it. This toil is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they have labored under the sun? All these days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their mind do not rest. This too is meaningless. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, one of Jesus' parables. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
These scriptures are a little bit hard. But money and the accumulation of money and things is part of the human condition and something we hear a lot about these days. Do you listen to any news that doesn't have something about the economy? And if you watch television, at least one commercial every hour is about financial management and how to save for retirement or to take care of your money. However, as these scriptures tell us, the accumulation of wealth isn't what's important in life. It really doesn't bring real happiness. We know a lot of people who are very comfortable financially, but are miserable human beings. They have difficulty with their family and friends, all because they're so focused on wealth. And so these two scriptures speak to us. Now, Ecclesiastes is a strange little book. It almost didn't get into the Bible. During the time of Jesus, when they were putting together what we now call the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes was one of those books that was debated, but finally was included. It was probably written around 200 years before Jesus. It was one of the late writings. Although it seems to refer to Solomon in the passage about being a king, this is probably not something that Solomon wrote. But if you attributed your writings to one of the famous and illustrious characters in the past, it was more likely to get noticed. This was during the time where the Greeks were still controlling Palestine, just before the Roman Empire took over. And the theme for this whole book is that the best way to live life is to follow God and enjoy the simple pleasures of life. Family and friends, and being in good company, not the accumulation of wealth. And why is that true according to this person? Well, you work and work and work, and you accumulate all this stuff, and no matter how many billions you have, you're going to die. Everybody does. And somebody else is going to get all that stuff that you worked so hard for. Now, if we make a will, and here in the United States, if you make a legal will, theoretically, your wealth will be distributed however you set out. But that isn't even guaranteed, because we know that people go to court all the time about contesting a will. That was what started this conversation that Jesus was having. Apparently there was at least two boys in this family, and usually the older son got the bulk of the inheritance and the younger children got less, but they should get something. And apparently the oldest son in this case didn't want to share anything. And so the younger brother was coming to Jesus and saying, okay, make him do what he's supposed to do. And Jesus says, well, that's not my job. I'm not that kind of person. And so this is sort of, in many ways, an ancient version of the story about Ebenezer Scrooge. That all this accumulation of wealth does not necessarily bring happiness, or is it good? Jesus had a lot to say about money. If you go through the four Gospels, there are more sayings of Jesus about money and wealth than any other single topic. And some of the more familiar ones are from Matthew. Don't store up treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal it. But store up treasure in heaven with God. And then where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so how do we store up treasure in heaven? Well, first of all, it is important that we make a living and have enough to take care of our families and all that. And it's nice if we can have something to keep us in our retirement so we don't have to be dependent on others. But we don't need more than that. And so what do we do with what's left over? We use it to help other people who are unable to make life their own. And right now, with all the cuts to government programs and whatnot, there is going to be more and more pressure on those in charitable organizations and in the private sector to help the needy. Right now, I know you collect food. I saw it when I came in the door. And you're doing a back-to-school collection for kids whose families may not be able to give them the things they need to start school. And I know that there's a whole other long list of things that this congregation is involved in to help people. Well, we may need to do even more than that because of the times in which we are living. Now, even some very wealthy people realize that they can't take it with them, and they are, during their lifetime, trying to give as much away as possible. The two probably most known are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Billionaires, multiple billionaires. But they are planning to give almost all of that away before they die. And if they don't get it all given away before they die, they have set up foundations and programs that will continue to do that. I know that Bill Gates has been very much involved with starvation in Africa and with the cut of AID and all those programs, that's going to be needed even more. So God has called us to a special ministry to use our wealth, not to just keep us, but to make others happy and healthy as well. One of the people I've met along with my ministry who didn't have much of anything, but who put together a poem that I think sums it up very well. When I was interim pastor at Adelphi Presbyterian Church a number of years ago, I got a call at the church one day from a lady who had AIDS. And she was getting welfare, but her rent had increased and she didn't have enough money for food. And so we were able to help her out. And so I maintained a relationship with her for a year or two. And she wrote this poem and gave it to me because she knew with her medical condition that she wasn't going to live very long. And so maybe this can be part of a theme for the way we handle our lives and whatever wealth God has blessed us with. I may never see tomorrow. There's no written guarantee. And things that happened yesterday now belong to history. I cannot predict the future. I cannot change the past. I have just this present moment. I must treat it as my last. I must use this moment wisely. It may soon pass away and be lost to me forever as part of yesterday. I must exercise compassion, help the fallen to their feet, be a friend unto the friendless, make an empty life complete. The unkind things I do today may never be undone. A friendship that I fail to win will never more be won. I may not have another chance on bended knee to pray and thank God with humble heart for giving me this day. By Audrey Moss. May God help us to use the wealth that we have available to us to make life better for as many people as possible. And then we won't say that everything is meaningless. It does have meaning. Amen.